Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
These are the wrong plans! These are the old plans!
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
Stop it! Stop what you're doing!
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is your home improvement source every week. Thanks for joining us. I'm Eric G.
I'm Dane Vodder.
Man, what a crazy week it's been. I've been busy with so many things, and next week, I got to kind of get everything ready because next week I got a huge project in the house. Imagine that, right?
No way. You projects?
Yeah.
That's not a thing.
I got Monday, I got Pyramid Heating and Cooling coming out, doing my upgrade. I'm getting rid of that 1992 furnace and getting a brand new Carrier Infinity heating and cooling system put in. So, we're going to have consistent temperatures and a healthier home, so I love it.
Now, I do want to ask, when did you schedule this appointment? Because you're upgrade, you're getting your air conditioning all set, ready for summer. We're right here into May. When did you schedule this?
3 weeks ago.
Okay. That's not too bad.
I'll be honest, if you called them up today, that's probably four.
Yeah. It's only going to get longer as we get closer
Absolutely.
To summer.
Absolutely. And so now's the time to get that stuff out there. If you're thinking, people, of getting heating and cooling stuff, I can promise you, for the rest of 2021, it is not going to get cheaper. It will get more expensive with our price increases out there, period.
Even come fall, once you know it starts.
I think it's going to be more expensive by some companies, 10 or 15% just on the materials.
Okay.
So yeah. I think right now is a good time to get it. With steel prices and metal prices being record-breaking right now, all those pieces that go into those materials are going to be expensive. And it's just like everything else. You know, lumber prices right now, great example. As of this last week when I looked, that random length board foot of the futures, lumber futures, was four times higher than it was a year ago.
Wow.
So that's where that stuff's going to get expensive. So now's the time to do it. And that's why I jumped on. I'm like, you know, it's not going to be any cheaper. And I got to bite the bullet, as they say. Get her done.
Yep, get it done now. Don't
you
wait.
Got it. Well, I want to, you know, I left this hour here, and it's hour number two today. Stay tuned for that.
One of the best storytellers we ever have on the show.
My buddy, my friend, our friend David Applebaum. He is the architect of the stars. He is not a name dropper, and he could name drop half of Hollywood if he was. But we have got some stories in there, like always. You know, when he starts talking about that time I designed Quincy Jones Music Studios, you know you got a story to listen to.
Yep, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to close my mouth and let you set the scene for me.
You got to just roll with it. So we'll be talking about that. But you brought up a couple questions for the show today that I went, you know, these are great questions, so let's dive into these. How do you clean up a house when it's had a smoker in it?
And especially a smoker that, I mean, they smoke inside and they've been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
It's not really a thing so much nowadays. I mean, I was thinking more of like elderly people in their home. You know, typically the older generations are the ones that still smoke inside.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the younger ones don't, but especially when that is now the norm now, how do you approach? How should you approach a smoker's home? And that's a lot of work.
My first real experience was a long time ago with one of my ex-wives, and that's a whole other story itself. Her dad was a smoker, and he was that gruff, I don't even know if he's alive anymore. Probably not the way he smoked cigarettes and ripped the filter off before he did. So he was one of those dudes. And they were in a rental house. And when they moved out, and he was staying there with her because he couldn't afford to be anywhere else. But long story short, that room he was in, it was like somebody sprayed brown sticky glue on the walls. And I mean, it was like get a credit card and scrape it off first that thick.
Well, and that stuff gets stuck everywhere. That'll get into every nook and cranny.
So let's back up a little bit and talk about when you have a smoker first, what happens? You know, there's a lot of people that will just maybe smoke in the bathroom or they won't do it in the rest of the house. They're outside people because they don't want to have to clean that up. Mm-hmm. But the people that have, you know, hey, I've been in there since 1976 and I've smoked in there for 40 years. There's a lot of things that happen. And I'll be honest, if you are doing a major rehab on this house, it's probably less work to tear the drywall down and start over.
Yeah,
I'll be honest. It probably is. If you have more time than money, then you're going to clean it. But here's the problem where this stuff gets into. Because it's in the air. It goes everywhere. It's inside the heating and cooling system.
Oh, wow. See, well, for me, I always thought walls and carpet, like those would be the two places that are just going to be filthy. But as you mentioned, that stuff gets I mean,
think about it. You got a central heating and cooling system that's always moving air.
Throws it everywhere.
Yeah, that filter is not going to take the smoke out.
No.
So everything from the ducts to the internals of the heating and cooling system is packed with that.
Ugh.
And many times you didn't have people taking that good of care of their house because many times they were like, oh, it'll be fine. You know, it's just the accepted part of being a smoker.
No big deal.
Well, now you've got that system that's all cleaned, needs to be cleaned. And I've seen houses so bad where they came in, the duct cleaners came in and went, you know, it's probably easier to replace that duct
and get
it out there. So I've seen in extreme cases where drywall comes down, flooring comes out, heating and cooling system comes out. You know, it's almost, think about what has to happen when someone has a house fire. Smoke is smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with cigarette smoke is you've got the tars that are associated with it, which make it stickier. Many times if you have a kitchen fire, you'll get the soot around the house, but that's actually easier to clean up than the cigarette smoke because you don't have that brown, yellow, almost like dark honey, just, you know, nastiness that's on everything. I've seen it inside the motors of ceiling fans.
Ugh.
Because the air cools it.
When it's like tar. It just
it is. Yeah. It's just tar everywhere. So here's, if you're going to tackle this yourself, this is what I would do. If you have carpet in the house, pull it.
Yep. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it. You can have companies come in, and I've seen people come in and save carpets. But it's probably going to be easier just to punt on the carpet. Unless it's newer, and then get a really good carpet cleaning professional. If you think that you're going to make a dent on it by going down to your local Kroger, Fred Meyer, whatever, and if you think that you're going to go down there and rent the steamer from them and make
and
a dent
do
on
a
it,
good job?
No. You need somebody to show up with a truck-mounted carpet cleaner and dive into that. Now, it might be saved that way, but I'll be honest, you're still going to get some smells of the smoke because it's going to be in the pad. It's going to be everywhere else. Just get it gone. Then you've got the biggest cleaning job is the obvious stuff in the walls, on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So that is going to be like a TSP and just clean after clean after clean. I would go do the entire house once. There's two ways to look at this. I've seen people go in and they'll just tackle a room and get it done. I actually like to do the whole house is a stage one clean, stage two clean. You'll probably have 4 to 6 different times of going through that space, wiping down with fresh rags, clean it up, and go.
Well, and here, here was my general perspective on this, is if you're buying a house, if you're out shopping looking for a house, mm-hmm. it kind of depends. So if you come across this smoker's house and you're looking for a house to live in, that's a lot of work, and you're probably better off finding a house that better suits you somewhere else, because you're going to be putting in a lot of work to make that livable for you as a non-smoker, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
If you're doing it to buy and then flip and sell, you can use that to lower the initial price that you're paying, as long as you're willing to put in the work to get it back to a suitable condition.
Unless you're going to gut it. Here's the problem I have with having a smoker's house as a house flipping thing. Here's where the problem lies with that. Unless you do it all 100% right, somebody walking through will go,
they can smell it.
Yeah. They can smell it. And it'll come out of weird spaces. It'll come out of the bath fan. You know, because it's in the bath fan motor. You know, it's all those different things. It can be in weird spaces. And smells, for some people,
are huge.
They're huge. So it's hard to, I mean, I've had people go in with ozonators, but you have to get all the tar material off the walls, ceiling, floor, all of it. Has to all be out of there before you can really even deal with the smells, because that's all contributing to it.
Mm-hmm.
So really, that's where that becomes a problem. And so what I would do is clean the entire space, you know, get that done. And you're going to have, I mean, I would go out and buy boxes of rags.
You're going to need them.
You're going to need them. Now, the question is, if you're on a budget, now you're going to take it and run it through your washing machine. Now your whole washing machine's got it in there.
No, don't do that.
Just toss them, get another box of rags, and do it again. Because that, you don't want that stuff in your clothes, everything else. No sense even introducing that into your stuff.
You're not getting rid of it.
No, you're not getting rid of it. I mean, if you're in a house that's got the old washing machine in it, then who cares? Maybe you can clean the rags that way. Yeah. If not, toss them, start it again. When we come back, I've got some other secret tips here of when to start painting, and we'll do that just as soon as Around the House returns. Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every week. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you follow us anywhere on social media from, you're going to find us all over the place. You're going to find us on Facebook, Instagram. There's so many places you can get us. And make sure that you head over to the website, which is aroundthehouseonline.com.
Absolutely. And we want to get your home improvement questions. This is how this show used to work. Oh, every week we would take live phone calls of your home improvement questions. We still want to do that. And there's still a way for you to do that. Give us a call here in the studio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our number is 971-233-8992. Now, it doesn't work the way that it used to. You're going to call, leave a message with your name, your issue, and a good time to call you back. Eric will call you back, we'll hit the record button, and you'll hear yourself in next week's show.
And that way we can actually answer your question fully and not give it the, hey, I got 10 seconds before I go out to break. Gotta go. That way we can get you taken care of. So I don't want you struggling out there with those. But to be honest, if you just want some insight, head over to Around the House Nation. That's our closed group. Ask to be a part of that.
On Facebook.
And then on Facebook. And you can be part of the nation there. And then you can post up that picture, and we have... Besides us, there is a wealth of knowledge in there from architects, structural engineers, other designers. We have HGTV people. Everybody's in there.
I mean, even the person that you're going to hear in the second hour, David Applebaum, who we've got an hour with, he's in that group, and he participates quite a lot, so you will be getting some feedback.
Absolutely. It's a lot of fun in there, so make sure you be a part of that. And the podcast. Make sure you catch the podcast, because I want to say this now. For hour number two today, for the radio, for all of you listening on the radio, you need to catch the podcast, because there's no way that conversation was all going to fit into the radio. So if you're listening on the radio, make sure you hit the podcast. And that's easy to find anywhere you catch podcasts around the house with Eric G, because you're going to miss about 35 minutes of material. And I want you to do that, because We just couldn't jam it all in with commercial breaks.
No, and it's kind of our policy to not go a full 2 hours on any specific topic, to do the full show on one thing. So we cut it back. We put David Applebaum in an hour, but we want you to be able to hear the full context of his story. So head over and listen to the podcast.
You got it. Well, we've been talking here about something that you brought up. Just how do you deal with a house that has had smokers in it for years, mm-hmm. And we're just talking about the cleaning part of it, of having to go through and clean it up. But really, once you get it just about as scrubbed down as you can, that's when I like to go in with a good primer. And I'm talking like the Zinsser's and those kind of things. There's lots of different primers out there. Check with whatever paint system you're going to use. Sherwin-Williams has theirs. If you're in the West Coast, Miller Paint has theirs. Make sure you use whatever system I like to do. That way you get the same paint brand throughout. But make sure that you've got something that is rated for covering up smoke damage, because really, that's what this is. I want a good primer that's going to create that barrier so that residue that's left over that's really just sucked in there isn't going to come out and smell it later.
No, and you're going to spend up on this, but it's worth it. This is where you're going to want to spend that extra money, because you will make it at least seem like it was never smoked in.
And absolutely. And to be honest, many times I will put 2 coats of that primer on with smoke because I want to get that taken care of. Now, of course, like we talked about earlier, I'll be honest, in many cases, I'd rather just take it down to the studs, clean it up.
Mm-hmm.
And even at that, I've seen areas where, like, air had gotten around light fixtures. I'll even spray the prime the studs sometimes in areas because the smoke has came up through a recessed light fixture and it's getting into the attic and that kind of stuff. So it's just, depending on what you're doing. But like we said, many people can't afford to buy that house and
tear it
out. Got it. So I get it. But this is how you go through it. And then really, I want you to get a really good paint and go through and do that, and get that taken care of. But really, I want to see you get it primed and 1 coat of paint on. Then what I would do is start working on flooring. Start deciding what you're going to do with that. Because here's what's going to happen. Depending on what you're doing, if you're doing carpet, you can wait a lot longer in the process. But if you're doing hardwoods and things like that, you're going to be marking up, dinging up, stuff like that. So I'd rather see you get a coat of paint on and then get that painting done, the trim paint and that stuff done at the very end, because you might be tearing that trim up to do it.
To do the floor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So make sure you've got that. And then I'll be honest, after you've got it cleaned and right when you're doing that first coat of primer, that's when you probably want to get the heating and cooling system. Before you create any, after you create dust, I'd get that cleaned out or replaced at that point.
At least get a good eye on it.
Yeah, you need to get that, because if you've got flux ducts, I'm going to tell you to rip that stuff out. If it's down in a crawl space or basement, get that out of there. Really spend some time getting that cleaned up, because that is where that stuff's going to be sucked into that. And maybe if you've got a newer system, maybe a professional can come in and clean the inside of that fan and all that stuff and get it cleaned out. It might not be ruined, but you're going to need your HVAC tech to come out and really spend some time on that and get that dialed in. It's going to be a big one. And that cleaner, I'm always going to recommend, who's ever doing your duct cleaning, needs to be that same HVAC company that's going to work on your system. Do not just get out of your little mailer that, fly-by-night company that is one brand today and a new brand tomorrow. Get somebody that's certified, that's ready to be cleaned. If you want to hear more about that, you can even listen to Carolyn Bozowski's show a few weeks ago. She talked about some of the good cleaners out there that you want to use. But that's the key of getting that cleaned up. Now you can start putting it back together, and that's going to be painting. That's going to be putting in new fans, sometimes new light fixtures, all that stuff in there. And then when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what to do with the woodwork, because I don't want you to hurt that woodwork. But if you've got stained doors and you've got stained railings and hardwood floors, let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Because here's the thing. I don't want you to have to tear that stuff out. You have to. And many times you can clean that wood up and get it to a position where it's not going to be, quote unquote, damaged like that. You can probably get it cleaned up. We'll talk about those secrets just as soon as Around the House returns. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Eric G with Around the House. Are you looking to grow your business? Need a spokesperson for your company? Maybe an MC for an upcoming trade show? Or maybe you want to up your game and shoot some promotional videos? My team of experts would love to chat with you. Head to aroundthehouseonline.com and fill out the contact us form, and we'll set something up. Thanks for listening. You know, two things only get
better with time. This is
Farewell Angelina,
and you're listening to Around the House with Eric G. It goes down so smooth. Ooh, it makes me want to pour gold in this glass, 'cause that color red never looks so good, so good.
Let's pour gold in this glass. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric G, your home improvement source every weekend. Thanks for joining us. Hey, make sure you hit us on social media. Around the House with Eric G is pretty much the universal one. Yes, I know. I'm going to get on Snapchat soon. That's the only one I think that we're really not doing much with.
There's another one, but I think you don't want to do it. You don't want anything to do with TikTok.
Yeah.
I will tell you, I have an account. There's some good stuff.
There's some great stuff on there. It comes down to time.
I know.
I don't have a social media manager. It's just the two of us. It's you and me, man, and there's just only so much we can do with that. So that's where we're going. You know, one thing I wanted to note that every week we've been doing Clubhouse on Thursdays, and, you know, we talked about it. I had a show this last week. There are going to be times this last week, actually, we didn't broadcast on Monday, the TikTok for the week before, because we just didn't really get a great turnout, and we didn't have what I would call radio quality content in it.
Okay.
And I didn't want to cut it down and cut other people out of it. It just, to me, just wasn't that riveting of a conversation that we had. And so we will see that from time to time. I'm going to try to air those on Mondays, but there's going to be times that we don't air those because I'm not going to bore you with maybe a not so hot conversation. That one was okay, but it was probably what I would say a hour conversation that could have been done in 10. And that's just not good radio or good podcasting. So it didn't go up. And apologies to anybody that wanted to hear themselves in that. It just wasn't the kind of the quality that I was looking for.
And that's going to happen. But, we'll try and do better next week.
Oh, yeah. And it's depending on who shows up. And, you know, it's such a growing thing. In the next couple of weeks, they're going to be having Android people.
Oh, finally. Thank you.
Finally. So I saw that. So you'll be able to jump on there as well. But it's one of those things that they're beta testing now, and I saw within a couple weeks is what the message I got from them. It's coming.
Cool.
So, hey, if you want to make sure that you want to be a part of the show, hit us up real quick at Around the House with Eric G, because actually Around the House online. You can message us there with the Contact Us page or give us a call in the studio.
Absolutely. AroundTheHouseOnline.com is the home base for everything. Yep. You've got your podcast there. We even have a store. That's the only place where you can find our
merch.
Store. A coffee cup or a hat or something. I got one of my hats on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And also the phone number right there, top of the webpage, 971-233-8992. We want to answer your home improvement questions. No matter how small or how big they are, we want to be able to help you. And odds are if you have that question, somebody else probably does too.
You got it. Well, today we've been talking about trying to clean up that smoke-filled house. Those people that were the band the Chainsmokers, they were in there just knocking them out and doing that slow damage to the house. And really with woodwork, here's where I'm going to go with this. I don't like using stuff that's going to hurt that. So, you know, really, to be honest, a soft rag and some Dawn dish detergent and not soak it, but just scrub away at it is going to be one of the, you know, warm water. That's on a good clear coat finish on it. It's probably your best bet. If you use some of the TSPs, you're going to take the top of the finish off. I don't want you hurting the woodwork. But really going through and just giving that a good clean scrubbing is going to be about the best you can do. You can hit some of that stuff with some of the Murphy's oil soaps and stuff like that. But really, just some soap and water is going to do a lot for you.
You're talking about cabinets and trim and all that.
I'll be honest,
stuff,
if there's cabinets in there, you can wipe them down, but you're probably going to have to replace them to get the smoke out of you.
Because it's everywhere. It's inside.
It's everywhere. Yeah. It's inside. It's just in places you can't get. So it's just one of those things. But I'm talking about maybe a staircase railing or even hardwood floors. You know, really hitting that with just a nice, damp, soft cloth is going to be probably your best bet. Anything that's scratchy is going to, that finish is fairly soft, so you're going to scratch the finish and make it not look good. So lots of cleaning. I actually had to sit there with wood, and I actually was using an old credit card and scraping it first.
Ugh.
That's how disgusting that was. So not good. We don't want to see that. And, you know, I say that, you know, as kind of a finished thought on that. Just think of what somebody's lungs looks like if that's what the walls look like. Because that was all, that's all that was being exhaled.
That didn't get caught by the lungs.
Lungs. Not good.
Now, I'm curious, you know, pot is legal in many states across the country.
Sure.
I assume that smoke damage isn't as bad from pot in comparison to tobacco or cigarettes because of all the additives and chemicals and everything.
Well, here's the thing. You know, some of it comes down to use. You know, somebody sitting in a house, or maybe two people in a house that are both smokers. You know, that old husband and wife, maybe it's your grandparents, whatever.
They both smoke two packs a day.
Yeah, so there's four packs. And how many smokes are in a pack?
20.
20. So you got 20 there. How many people are going to smoke
80 joints a day?
80 joints a day? Snoop Dogg goes, whoa, slow your roll, brother.
Yeah.
So
volume.
Volume. And then you got to think of the product being smoked. You know, there's so much tars in cigarette smoke, and it's definitely a drier, less sticky product and a smaller amount in many cases.
Okay.
That you're seeing. So it just comes down to volume, you know. It's going to be easier. Is that pot smell, love to stick into stuff? Yeah, that is not a not strong smell, depending on how good it is. That's a whole other conversation we're not having on the radio. However, it's when in doubt, go outside. You know, when in doubt, go outside.
And I think that's kind of been, that is like the new way of for smokers. Like everyone who does smoke, usually everyone smokes outside now. That is more the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're turning that page, but now we're the whole reason I thought of this subject was because, you know, typically it's the older people who both smoke in homes, who smoke multiple packs a day. That this is kind of the last generation we're seeing of that. But how does the younger generation that really doesn't like smoking in the home tackle that? And I'm happy we were able to handle that for you today.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, you know. And it's funny, you go into other countries, Europe, you know, Central America, and every time I've been into outside of my element, I mean, there's not a lot of smokers here on the West Coast.
No.
Not compared to the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's interesting. You get outside of your element, and you're like, oh, wow, there's a lot more of this here than normal. I remember working at McDonald's as a kid and emptying out the ashtrays.
Just right there next to where you're cooking food, which is a total health violation now.
Oh, well, geez. Don't get me started on that rabbit hole. So, hey, I wanted to dive into the next subject that you had brought on, which is a fascinating one to me and one that I hadn't even thought about.
There's no right answer to this, really.
No, there is and there isn't. Contractor etiquette. You as a homeowner, the proper ways to deal with people working inside or outside your home. And that's a fascinating one. You know, you brought up, hey, what do you expect when you're hiring one, which we'll talk about here. You know, they're going to have to work. Do you stay at the house? Do you leave at the house? What's the access? You know, how do you deal with that? You know, especially when it comes to, like, bathrooms.
Yeah, especially for a long project. If you've got somebody doing a 6 to 8 hour project outside throughout the day and you've got to go pick up the kids, do you leave the door unlocked so that they can go, they can use the bathroom and that's accessible to them? Or do you lock it up and protect your property?
Here's the thing. If you hired a contractor that you don't trust to come inside your house and use your bathroom, if you're not there, you hired the wrong person. Or you need to get more comfortable with them.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. I'll be honest, if you've got somebody working outside for a couple days and they don't have access to the restroom or a glass of water inside or something like that, I'll be honest, you should have probably hired a porta potty and let them use the hose outside for water.
Yeah.
You should have paid that extra expense to get in there. You know, I'm coming up with that next week. You know, I've got Pyramid Heating and Cooling over at my house doing this new carrier system. And I know these guys. I know them well. You know, am I going to have to pop out? Yeah. Are they going to have full control of the house? Sure they are.
Yep.
Do I trust them? 100%.
But you've also worked with them for years.
True. But any other person that I've had here, I've had other people in here, keep in mind, I might have worked with them for years, but I don't know that person that's in there personally. And there has to be a point that you just have to go, look, you know, this is what it is. I, as a designer, have worked with clients that had more top secret work from home situations where they were private contractors, let's say, and they ended up having to hang around when people were working, period. That's how they did it.
They were covering their own.
Well, they had to. They had to keep things secure outside of what people are worried about.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you've got stuff outside of your house that you're worried about getting stolen, jewelry, documents, I'll be honest, go buy a safe. You should probably have it in there anyway.
Yep.
In case of fire or anything else. That's one of those things. So, of course, those workers should have access to a restroom facility at any time. I think it's rude. I think it's poor planning to have to make them go down the street to a restaurant or find some place to use the restroom. I think it's bad. And by the way, you're going to pay for them to go get in their car for 20 minutes to go use the restroom.
Yeah.
That's not smart on you as well. So that's one of the things that I want to really talk about now is kind of the rest of this etiquette to make sure that you kind of understand how this relationship should work and some of the keys. We could do a whole hour show, and we have in the past, on hiring a contractor, but I want to talk about some of the nuances of how you're going to work together. And even more importantly, how do you communicate and how does money transact between two people and when do you do it? And when it's going to be a problem, and when you need to be careful of that situation. We'll talk about that just as soon as Around the House returns. Welcome back to Around the House with Eric T, your home improvement source. Thanks for joining us today. Well, Dan and I have been sitting here talking about contractor etiquette. This is one of those things that, you know, as a homeowner, and maybe you haven't hired a contractor before, maybe you don't know how to deal with this stuff correctly. Of course, I don't even have to say it, but I'm going to say it again. Make sure they're licensed, bonded, insured. And if they have employees, that they have a workers' compensation insurance that covers them against injury. Because if you hire that guy off of Nextdoor, Craigslist, Facebook Marketplace, and they're not a licensed, bonded, insured contractor, they're your employee, and if they get hurt doing something, you win the prize of being personally responsible for those injuries, including any disabilities that might have happened.
Prolonged disabilities, even.
Correct. You might be paying for their kid's college because now they can't work.
Mm-hmm.
So be careful of that. But let's talk a little more in depth about what you should be thinking about when you're working with contractors. One, you got to have the contract, and we've done plenty of episodes on this, but I wanted to kind of talk about the etiquette side of it. There needs to be a written schedule in your contract of how payment terms are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, many times, and I know this is, you have to follow your local laws. For instance, and there are states that won't let you put 50% down on a project with a contractor when, to be honest, you probably need to.
Yeah, I wonder why that law is in place.
Well, but here's what they do is they go, okay, you're going to put a $10,000 deposit down. That's your deposit. And now here's your invoice for your cabinetry, flooring, and all the stuff they have to order. And I want you to be comfortable with this contractor, but I don't want you to pay them all up front. There's a fine line here. If you have a project that is high on labor, there's no reason for you to pay a big chunk out front. But if you're doing a kitchen remodel, for instance, where you need to order cabinetry because it's 12 weeks out, you're ordering tile, you're ordering flooring, you're ordering appliances.
That money's got to come from somewhere.
And that contractor, I'll be honest, I don't want them floating that for you. So you're going to have to pay for that early on. So be ready for that. Now, this is where you as a homeowner can get in trouble because there are those home improvement, you know, loans that are government funded loans, mm-hmm. basically. And they are loans, and I'm not going to get into all the loan stuff on it because that gets to be boring radio. But when you get into these loans, the bank manages the whole process. Now, keep in mind, when you do one of those, they're cool. Your contractor, due to the hoops that they have to run through, will be charging you more for that. So you're going to get a decent interest rate, but they have to fill out all this progress paperwork, take pictures, deal with adjusters.
All the busy work.
It is complete busy work. It will add 30% more work to that contractor because many times that loan won't pay for stuff until it's installed. Problem is that contractor has to prepay for that cabinet order. So they're going to get really creative in how your project goes with the bank. So be prepared for that. That happens all the time. And it's kind of one of the hidden things that you see with those type of home improvement loans, construction loans on remodels, is that they're going to go through and say, okay, framing's done, and they're going to hit it with a big framing number. That big framing number is going to cover the price of your cabinetry order.
Yeah.
So you're going to see, I hate to call it a shell game, but it's kind of a shell game unless you are going to pay out of your pocket for those cabinetry. Otherwise, many builders who don't run accounts for these products, they're not going to cover that. So be very careful that you talk with your contractor how this is going to be navigated, because this can be the metal bar and the cogs of all this, and it can be a huge problem.
Well, and I just want to clarify, because this sounds fairly complicated, because it is.
It is.
So basically, you're going to be paying for, say, the paying for one thing, but that money is actually going to go towards the next step in the project.
You're going to see that with contractors out there. And you're also going to have contractors that go, nope, not doing that loan process because it's not worth my time. I know dozens of contractors that when a homeowner says, I've got this really great project and we're going to do it through a bank and this construction loan, and if it's one of the federally funded ones, a lot of these contractors go, nope.
Don't want to touch it.
Not touching it. Not worth my time. Because now they have to jump through the hoops. And that contractor doesn't want to bankroll your project because that's kind of what the bank does.
Yep. But the bank's not giving the contractor money. The contractor has to put up money up front.
Correct. So they've got huge cash flow issues. And so many of those guys just go, not worth it.
It prolongs the project. It's just a headache.
It does. So really, you got to think about this stuff. You know, there's lock boxes. You have controls of way you can let people inside the house. You know, you've got a contractor working on a house over multiple days, and maybe you're working or having to work, or you're tied up. Having that smart electric lock on the front door, or the back door, or wherever they're going to be accessing your place is a smart way to go.
Talking about one where you can, like, change the passcode or something.
And, give them a key fob. There's lots of different ways to do it, but that's the good way to go. But really, like we said in the previous segment, I really want you to make sure that you've got them the access to water, they've got access to a bathroom. And to be honest, if you don't want them using your bathroom, awesome. Go get a porta potty and get it out there. All the contractors rent it for a day, a week, whatever you're using it for, and you're going to be good to go. But that's really the way to handle that, because I just don't want you to get caught up in that.
Now, especially for big projects or prolonged multiple day projects, another thing that I think you really should prepare for is these guys need a place to work. They need a place for their saws, their tools, anything like that. And odds
are, especially with weather.
Exactly. Especially, if they can't be standing out in the rain or storing their stuff in the rain, your garage is probably going to turn into their workshop.
Yeah. So you need to make sure and clear that out, clear that clutter out of your house. Now, I'll be honest, there was a remodel I did a few years ago, one of the last projects I did where I was not one of my last big design projects. Great, great couple. The contractor, because they were doing over the winter here in a Portland winter, he put up a tent over the entire house. A white, almost like a circus tent, like those white.
Like an extermination tent?
Like that, but it was a thicker one. It had scaffolding, and it tented the whole house so they wouldn't get water inside of it. So there would be no water infiltration, because they were doing a second story addition. So they were taking the roof off the second level.
They needed that protection.
They needed that protection, and they knew the tarps weren't going to make it, and that was one of those things. All right, everybody, when we come back, we're going to talk with David Applebaum, our buddy, architect of the stars, This guy is a great listen. So I want you to make sure and stay tuned for that. He'll be coming back, but make sure you catch the podcast because that's where you're going to catch the whole complete interview and not just what's on the radio. We'll be back after these important messages. Thanks for listening to Around the House. Hey, it's Eric G from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.